I looked around. She wasn't kidding. The whole dang family had arrived. We were surrounded by lean-limbed, long-haired, scruffy-tailed, yeller-eyed, slack-jawed, hungry-looking coyotes. I was in trouble, fellers, and had a feeling that a wreck was coming. Missy's old man was the chief. His full proper name was Many Rabbit Gut Eatin' Full Moon, which in coyote culture was regarded as a beautiful name. Can you imagine a mother saddling an innocent pup with a name like that? Shows just how backward them coyotes were. Anyway, nobody used his full name except at rituals and war councils and such. Mostly they called him Chief Gut, or just plain Gut. Gut was an old devil, skinny. You could count every rib he owned on both sides. Looked like a one-way plow with a wet blanket thrown over the discs. Walked with a limp, packed his right front leg, which was missing a couple of toes. Had a long scar down the front of his face, nose was all beat up, and his left ear looked as though the rats had been chewing on it. He came limping over to where I was, and strangely enough, he had a smile on his face. Made me feel a little better about things. "Aha! Daughter cats dog! Coyote girl pretty, huh?" "Mighty pretty, yes she is." "You like, huh?" He turned to the other coyotes. "Dog like girl who drank blood. Think she pretty?" They roared at that. Got a good chuckle out of it. I must have missed the joke. Old Gut turned back to me. "Oh, foolish dog to chase coyote girl into canyon. Berry, berry, foolish, you leave ranch. Come here without big hat and boom, boom." I'm doing my best to translate this conversation from the coyote dialect, but maybe I ought to pause here to clear up some of the terminology. Big hat was the coyote word for cowboy, and boom, boom meant gun. Thought I'd better get that straight. I mean, you can't expect everyone to be fluent in three or four or five languages. I was, but that's just part of my job. One of the many things a top-notch cow dog had to master before he could take over a ranch and run it the way it ought to be run. I might also mention that I had a fair knowledge of the coon, possum, and badger dialects, and I could bluff my way through in chicken and prairie dog. Actually, chicken is pretty simple. Chickens are so dumb that they only have about half a dozen words in the whole language, and three of those words are just different ways of saying, "Help!" All right, we've got that out of the way. Now, where was I? Old Gut turned to me. "Oh, foolish dog to chase coyote girl into canyon, Barry!" We've already heard that. "Now you in big trouble, huh? You do good job, daughter. Catch dog!"
"Not catch dog. Dog help. Save life. Name Hunk. Hunk friend."
The old man scowled.
"Hunk not friend. Fight coyote many time away from chicken. He chicken dog."
Chicken dog. Them was fighting words. If Missy hadn't been there to hold me back, I might have cleaned house on the whole coyote nation. Me and old man Gut went nose to nose and were growling at each other when I caught some motion out of the corner of my eye. I looked. It was Scraunch. He was crouched low, walking real slow. Hair along his backbone was bristled all the way from the back of his neck to the tip of his tail. Had a snarl on his mouth that showed two rows of long white fangs. He was a big dude. Tall, brawny, raw bone, and so ugly that a guy could hardly stand to look him in the face. Kinda throwed a chill into me. Old man Gut backed off.
"Now what you say, chicken dog? You scared, betcha, huh?"
I swallowed and tried to keep my knees from going out on me.
"No, I ain't scared." "You not scared, Scraunch? You not smart? Scraunch, very bad fellow."
I glanced at Missy. "Tell your brother that I don't like the look on his face. She told him. He stopped, and a roar of laughter went up from the other coyotes. When they quit yipping and howling, I went on. Tell your brother that if he takes one more step, I'm going to use him to sweep this whole pasture. And when I get done, there won't be a cactus bush left in Ochiltree County. She told him. He grinned and took another step. Tell your brother that I saw that, and I won't forget it. Missy shook her head.
Not talk so big. Make Scrunch mad. Big mouth make big trouble.
One of the first rules you learn in security work is an old piece of cowdog wisdom. Never bite if you can bark. Never bark if you can growl. Never growl if you can talk. And never talk if you can run. In other words, when the odds are against you, the best kind of fight is none at all. That was my strategy, see? The longer I talked, the longer I could stay alive. And who knows, I might just say something that would change Scrunch's mind about tearing me limb from limb, though I didn't have a great deal of hope. He was standing maybe 4 or 5 feet in front of me. A hush had fallen over the tribe, and all eyes were on the two of us. He sat down and leered at me. And I mean leered, brother. That was no ordinary grin. I leered right back. Tried to, anyway, though I'd never really perfected a good leer. Then I turned to Missy again. Tell your brother that I've changed my mind. If he can mind his manners and act right, we'll forget the whole thing. Missy started to speak, but Scrunch lifted his paw for silence.
Not speak through sister. You have talk, you speak Scrunch.
All right. You asked for it. You've really done it this time. I was prepared to forget the whole thing and just let it slide, but by George, if you're going to keep pushing and mouthing off, well, hey, this could get serious. Come on. He didn't move. Come on, get off your duff and let's settle this thing once and for all. I'm tired of waiting. I mean, I came out here to get you, Scrunch. Oh, I know you thought I was messing around with your sister. Ha! That's just what I wanted you to think. It was a trap, Scrunch, and you walked right into it. Oh, what a dumb brute you are. I didn't think you'd actually fall for it. I never dreamed it would be this easy. All these months I've been waiting to even the score between us, and I never dreamed that I could just walk into the canyon and you'd come to me. Speaking of silence, them coyotes were silent. Guess they couldn't believe what they were hearing. Scrunch glanced at Chief Gut, and Gut glanced at Missy, and Missy glanced at me. And I gave her a smile and a wink. Scrunch stood up, and so did the hair on the back of his neck.
Scrunch kill chicken dog.
You think so? You actually think that? Ha! Holy cats, where have you been all your life? You've been up in the Bojacks too long, Scrunch. You're so country it hurts. I mean, you're pathetic. I almost feel sorry for you. I took a step towards him. You still don't understand, do you? It still hadn't soaked through your thick barbarian skull that you've walked right into my trap. Huh, I can't believe this. Scrunch cut his eyes towards old Gut.
Scrunch killed chicken dog.
But there was a little less conviction this time. Okay. I marched right up to him until there weren't more than a couple of inches between our noses. If you're bound and determined to go through with this, let's get it on. But first, I want you to do something. I want you to ask yourself this question. Why would a smart dog walk right into the middle of a bunch of coyotes in their country? Put your little brain to work on that, Scrunch. If you figure it out, you'll know the secret. I'll give you 30 seconds. Nobody moved. There wasn't a sound, not a whisper. 15 seconds went by real slow. I was in the process of checking out the escape routes when an old woman coyote, Scrunch's mother as it turned out, broke the circle and came out to him. She whispered something in his ear.
No! Scrunch not scared. Kill chicken dog.
The old lady went to whispering again. Then old Chief got limped over and joined the conference. He was kind of agitated. They growled and snapped and snarled. Typical Coyote family discussion, I would imagine. All right, time's up. I'm out of patience. Have you figured out the secret, or shall we start spilling blood? The old lady led Scrunch away. He glared daggers at me over his shoulder. Old Chief Gut came over and stood in front of me. Not fight today! Rats, I said, and almost fainted with relief. All right, if that's the way you want it. We'll let it slide this time, but I'm warning you, don't ever let this happen again. Not happen again! Good. I guess we understand each other. We understand! Very good. Now, if you coyotes will just stay where you are, I'll slip out of here and get on my way. I started backing away and ran into 3 big coyote bucks. Excuse me, boys, if you'll just...
Hunk not understand. Hunk stay, become coyote warrior, prove himself many fight, and marry Missy Coyote.
Huh?
I shot a glance at Chief Gut, who was grinning and bobbing his head.
Yes, very good you stay. Make outlaw, make warrior.
Make warrior? Well, I've always wanted, but I really have to... I tried to ease around them 3 coyotes who were blocking my path. When I moved, they moved. They didn't intend to let me out of there, is the way it looked.
Stay, not leave! Old coyote tradition! Adopt brave dog! Make brother!
Brave? Well, I can set you straight on that. You see,
together we kill many chicken! Eat cat every day! Howl at moon, oh boy!
I don't know about eating cat. I tried to edge around those 3 bruisers, but they pushed me back.
Dog, not leave!
Yes, sir.
Maybe later, marry daughter, have many pup. Everybody happy but Scrunch. Too bad, he not understand secret.
There was no chance of me getting out of there, so I walked over to the chief. You figured out the secret?
Ha! Oh, yes, very much.
What did you figure out? Gut glanced over both his shoulders and brought his mouth right next to my ear.
Secret, too secret to tell.
You got it all right, you sure did. We had a good laugh, me and old Gut, but I doubt that we were laughing about the same thing. That business about the secret was the perfect stroke, and it probably saved my life. In desperation, I had lucked into it. Turns out that coyotes are superstitious animals, even though they're known to be cunning and vigilant. And that deal about the secret caught them just right and saved my hide. Actually, it did better than that. It made me kind of a celebrity in the tribe, and I was treated like a visiting dignitary. By everyone but Scrunch, that is, and he continued to give me hateful glances and mutter under his breath every time our paths crossed. I couldn't blame him for being sore. I had won, and he had lost, and you can't expect everyone to be a good loser. As we say in the security business, show me a good loser, and I'll show you a loser. Scrunch had lost a big one, and I was confident that he would hate my guts forevermore, even though there was a good chance that I would eventually become his brother-in-law. You know, when Missy had first mentioned that possibility, it hadn't struck me as a real good idea. I suppose at that time I was still thinking of going back home, back to Drover and Pete, the chickens, the sewer, the cowboys, my old job. But a couple of days in the Coyote Village pretty muchly convinced me that I had found my true place in the world, as a savage. Life of a savage ain't too bad. I admit that I was raised with a natural prejudice against coyotes. Ma always told us that they were lazy and sneaky, undisciplined, and didn't have any ambition. But what Chap cared most about the coyotes was that they ate rotten meat, and it made them smell bad. True, every word of it. But what she didn't tell us was that laziness and riotous living can be a lot of fun. I don't blame her for telling us that. I mean, she was trying to raise a litter of registered, papered, blue-ribbon, top-of-the-line cow dogs. And there's no better way to mess up a good cow dog than to let him discover that goofing off beats the heck out of hard work. I discovered it by accident, and once I had a taste of indolence, I loved it. I mean, all at once I had no responsibilities, no cares, no worries. When I woke up in the morning, I didn't have to wonder if my ranch had made it through another night, or if I'd get yelled at again for something I hadn't done. About a week after I joined the tribe, I made friends with two brothers named Rip and Snort. They were what you'd call typical good old boy coyotes. Filthy, smelled awful, not real smart, loved to fight and have a good time, and had no more ambition than a couple of fence posts. If Rip and Snort took a shine to you, you had two of the best friends in the world. If they didn't happen to like your looks or your attitude, you were in a world of trouble. I got along with them. One evening, along towards sunset, they came around and asked if I wanted to go carousing. I was feeling refreshed since I'd slept a good part of the day. Got up around noon and ate a piece of rabbit that Missy had caught, then went back to bed. I was all rested up and said, sure, I'd love to go carousing. So off we went, me and Rip and Snort, on a big adventure. We went down the canyon, crossed that big sandy draw that cuts through there, then went on across some rolling country until we came to an old silage pit. I'd been by it many times, but I'd never taken the time to go into the pit and check things out. By the time I took over the ranch, the cowboys had quit feeding silage, so I didn't know much about it. One of the things I didn't know about silage was that it's fermented, which means that it's got some alcohol in it, which means that if a guy eats enough of it, his attitude about the world will begin to change. All those years I'd spent on the ranch, and I never knew any of that. But Rip and Snort knew all about silage, yes, they did, and they had made a well-packed trail into and out of the silage pit. So we started eating silage. Struck me as kind of bitter at first, but the more I ate, the less I noticed the bitterness. By George, after an hour of that, I thought it was sweet as honey. Well, we ate and we laughed and we laughed and we ate, and when it came time to leave, Rip and Snort had to drag me out of there, fellas, because I just couldn't get enough of that fine stuff. A big moon was out, and we went single file down a cow path, Snort in the lead, me in the middle, and Rip on the caboose. Funny thing, that cow path kept wiggling around, and I had a devil of a time trying to stay on it. I asked Rip about it, and he said he was having the same trouble. Darn path kept jumping around from side to side. I suspect that the silage had something to do with that, is what I suspect. Well, next thing I knew, Snort topped a rise and came to a sudden halt, which caused a little pileup with me running into Snort and Rip running into me because couldn't any of us see real well at that point.
Stop here! Sing mini song! Sing pretty! Sing loud! Teach honk coyote song!
So we sat down on our haunches, throwed back our heads, and started singing. Let's see if I can remember how that song went.
Me just a worthless coyote, me howling at the moon. Me like to sing and holler, me crazy as a loon. Me not want job or duty, no church or Sunday school. Me just a worthless coyote, but me ain't nobody's fool.
It was a crackerjack of a song. We ripped through it a couple of times until I had her down. Then we divided up. Snort took the bass, Rip carried the melody, and I got up on the high tenor. Don't know as I ever heard better singing. It was one of them priceless moments in life when three very gifted guys come together and blend their talents and sort of raise the cultural standards of the whole dang world. I mean, it was that good. We sang it four or five times, then all at once Snort's ears perked up and he lifted his paw. We stopped and listened. Off in the distance, we heard yapping. There was something familiar about that yap, but for a minute I couldn't place it. Then it occurred to me that we were sitting on a spot just a quarter mile north of ranch headquarters. That yapping was coming from Drover. I think Rip and Snort had took a notion to amble on down there and see if they could get into a fight. I had to explain that they couldn't run fast enough to get Drover into a fight, that it would be a waste of their time. Let me go down there and talk to him. He's an old buddy of mine. We used to work together. Maybe he'll come back and sing with us. We could use another guy on baritone. They shrugged. Snort sat down and started scratching his ear.
More fun fight, but singing okay too. We wait.
So I trotted down to the ranch, weaving a little bit from side to side and humming me just a worthless coyote. Say, that was a good song. When I was, 20-25 yards away, I slowed to a walk. I could see Drover up ahead of me. He was peering off in the distance. The little dope hadn't even seen me. I decided to stop and watch him for a minute. He was all bunched up and tense. Off in the distance, he could hear Rip and Snort laughing and belching and having a good time. He'd cock his ear and listen for a minute, then he'd give out a yip, yip, yip. On every yip, all 4 feet went off the ground. Then he'd stop and listen again. He never saw me, never had the slightest notion that I was sitting 10 yards away from him, watching the whole show. This was my replacement, understand? The guy who'd taken over my job as head of ranch security. I didn't need anyone to tell me that the ranch had gone completely and absolutely to pot. Drover froze.
What was that? Who's there?
What's going on, son? He gave out his usual squeak, and in a flash he was highballing it for the machine shed, squalling like a turpentine cat. He'd gone maybe 10-12 yards when he slowed to a walk, then stopped.
Hank, is that you?
Uh-huh.
It is?
Uh-huh.
How can I be sure? I thought you'd left the country.
Well, why don't you just trot your little self over here and see? He came real slow, a few steps at a time.
It sure sounds like you.
Son of a gun.
You're not fooling me, are you, Hank?
Get over here and quit messing around.
Okay. I want to be sure, that's all.
He came creeping up to me.
Hank!
Boo!
He screamed and jumped straight up into the air.
Hank, stop that! Don't do that to me! My nerves!
Drover, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. What a pitiful excuse you are for a night watchman. I could have carried off half the chicken house and you never would have got the news.
I know it. I'm a failure. Every morning I wake up and say, here's another day for you to mess up, Drover. And I do. Every one of them. It hasn't been the same since you left, Hank.
I knew it wouldn't. I tried to tell them, but they wouldn't listen. I mean, you can't treat a good dog like a dog and expect to keep him.
Gosh, I wish you'd come back.
You can forget that, son, because it'll never happen. I found a better life. He looked me over real careful.
What's come over you, Hank? You look different. You smell different. You stink.
I've joined the coyote tribe.
No!
That's right. And if you had a brain in your head, you'd come along and join up with them too. It ain't a bad life, let me tell you. He took a couple of steps back.
I can't believe it. What would your mother say?
She'd say I was a turncoat and a traitor. So what? I tried the straight life. I did my job, and what did I get? Abuse, ingratitude, no thanks. Life's too short for that. I'll cast my lot with the outlaws of the world.
3 weeks ago, you were on the side of law and order, trying to catch the murderers. Now you're one of them.
That's right.
Oh, Hank, I can't take this. I used to admire you so much. You were my hero. I thought you were just the greatest dog in the world. Since I was a pup, I just wanted to be like you. Brave and strong and fearless.
Knock it off, Drover. I don't want to hear that stuff.
And dedicated to duty. I knew I could never be as good as you, but I wanted to try. You were my idol, Hank.
Cut it out, would you?
Come back home, Hanky. I need you. The ranch needs you. We all need you.
That kind of struck me in the heart, hearing Drover say those things. Then Rip and Snort called for me.
Hunk, come sing. We tired wait.
Who's that?
Oh, some of my pals. Come on up the hill with me, Drover, and I'll show you a good time. Introduce you to my friends.
Are they drunk like you?
There's a little edge in his voice. He'd never talked to me like that before. Well, maybe they are and maybe they ain't. Who cares?
I care. I don't associate with coyote trash.
Well, la-ti-da. Aren't we high and mighty tonight? Drover dried his eyes with the back of his paw.
I better get on back to the ranch. I'm on guard duty tonight.
You're on guard? Son, you're a sorry excuse for a guard dog, running for the machine shed every time you hear a sound.
I'm not going to run anymore, Hank. Somebody's got to protect the ranch. We can't depend on you anymore.
You'll run. You always have. You always will.
I ain't going to run.
Sure you will, and I can prove it. Boo! He didn't run. That don't prove a thing. When the time comes, when the chips are down, you'll run and hide.
No, I won't. And Hank, if you come with him, I won't run from you either.
He turned and started walking away. You always were a little chump.
I may be a chump, Hank, but I'm not a traitor. Goodbye.
Go on, you little dummy. Who needs you anyway? Sawed off, stub tail, self-righteous, little pipsqueak! Drover went on his way, and I went on mine. On the way up the hill, I could hear the boys singing Me Just a Worthless Coyote again. I took my place between Rip and Snort and started belting out the song again. We went on like that all night long, singing and laughing and chasing mice. But it wasn't quite as much fun this time. Must have been a couple of days later that I was sitting on the edge of the caprock, sunning myself and looking off in the distance. I'd been there most of the day, thinking about things and enjoying the quiet. The coyote village was awful noisy. Seemed that somebody was always in the midst of a squabble. When a husband and wife had a difference of opinion, they just, by George, had a knockdown, drag-out fight right there in front of everybody. Nobody ever seemed to get hurt in these brawls, and I guess they managed to solve their problems, but I could never get used to the noise of it. And the hair. After one of them family fights, the air was full of fur. The guy could hardly breathe for the hair. And then there was the kids. There must have been 10 or 12 pups in the village. And let me tell you about coyote pups. Now, a dog pup is kind of cute. I'm not real fond of babies, understand, but even I have to admit that a little old cowdog pup is pretty cute. He'll be fat as a butterball and covered with silky hair, and when he looks up at you with those big soft eyes, you can't help but smile and say, "How's it going, kid?" Coyote pups ain't cute. They look mean, they sound mean, they act mean, and fellers, they are mean. They've got two jaws full of teeth that are as sharp as needles, and their idea of good clean fun is to slip up behind some unsuspecting somebody, me for instance, and just bite the heck out of his tail. As a rule, I'm a pretty good sport. I was a kid once myself, and I got into my share of mischief, but I can't get used to people biting my tail. I mean, there's something kind of special and private about a guy's tail. If he's got any pride at all, he tries to keep it nice. And he's a little fussy about scabs and bald spots and tooth marks and slobber and all that stuff. What I'm saying is that my tail ain't a play toy. But these kids, they'd sneak up behind me and sink their little needle teeth into my tail. First few times, I just growled at them. Here, y'all go on, get out of here. It didn't work. Coyotes are a little slow about taking a hint. They came back and did it again, so I took sterner measures. Cuffed one of them. Know what he did then? He bit me on the paw. Well, I wasn't going to take that off a darn kid, so I bit him on the scruff of the neck. He somehow worked his way around and got hold of my left ear. That got me all inflamed, don't you see? And I put the boy on the ground and was spanking some manners into him when his mama walked up.
You brute! Leave my junior alone!
Huh? I looked around just in time to get slapped across the mouth.
There, you bully!